In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are again on Ash Wednesday, on St. Valentine's Day. I hope you'll forgive me a little calendar geekery for a moment. This Ash-Valentine mashup is pretty rare. It last happened in 2018, and it will happen again for the final time this century in 2029. So quite a clustering of occurrences. Similarly, it happened only 3 times in the 20th century. So I kind of feel we ought to make the most of it. Well done for being here, and not in some wonderful restaurant, by the way. We do have candles and a meal to look forward to, so... In fact, according to the C of E, Ash Wednesday is a principal holy day, so it trumps all the other celebrations which come on the same day. So if you'd stuck by that, I guess you could have saved a fortune on cards and flowers and wine and so on, if you were brave. But the day does give us an opportunity to think about love and holiness, love and Lent. Perhaps not things that we would automatically associate together. If you did a sort of word association game on love, holiness and Lent, you'd probably have some rather different ideas, wouldn't you? If we allow ourselves a caricature for a moment, well, love is all sort of lovely, isn't it? Fluffy, nice, kind, love. It's motherhood and apple pie, isn't it? Who could possibly be against love? And holiness. Well, holiness, no doubt, is good and necessary. It's a bit like eating your greens. But it's hard to get too excited about it. Hard to be too enraptured by it. You know, maybe we think of something slightly spiritual, otherworldly, you know, a kind of faraway look in the eye seems somehow holy, doesn't it? You know, perhaps the absent-minded rector might be terribly holy. Or maybe if we think of the Lenten iteration of it, it might be very frugal, an austere, monastic, very kind of strict and regimented and self-denying. Maybe hard or strange. And odd when our society so often tells us that we must love ourselves. You know, does anyone love Lent? But for God and for us, love and holiness go together. They ought to go together. So maybe if we think about love and holiness in relation to one another, they could refine and expand our vision of both. We could seek a Lent that is both loving and holy. Holy and loving. So let's think very briefly about God and ourselves in relation to holiness and to love. First of all then, God. We know that God is holy, holy, holy. The most holy. The holiest. You know, supremely, superlatively, super, maximally holy. God, who is both holy and the source of all holiness. The basic idea of holiness, you'll know, is that of separation, specialness, distinctness. So God is holy in the sense that he is set apart and unique, particularly set apart from all evil and wickedness. God is perfectly good, entirely holy. His eyes are too holy to even look upon evil. But God's holiness is not only separateness, but has a kind of expansiveness to it, a kind of spreading holiness. This is something to do with the whole system of uncleanness in the Old Testament, isn't it? In the Old Testament, uncleanness spreads. You know, so if you touch a dead body, you're unclean. But then Jesus comes along, and it's the opposite, isn't it? You know, Jesus, the Holy One, goes around touching those who are unclean, and it's not that Jesus is contaminated, the unclean person is made clean. Jesus has a kind of spreading, contagious, invincible, trumping holiness. God has a holiness that can make holy. A holy God is light. God's holiness shines forth. It scatters the darkness. But also God is love. He is the loving fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He made us from love, in love, for love. God loves and loves and loves. He is an inexhaustible, overflowing fountain of love. Love all the way down. Love in that children's song, so wide and long and high and deep. Think of God's rich, overflowing, abundant, generous love. The whole Bible is a love story. God the husband who pursues his bride, the church. Jesus is the champion who kills the dragon and gets the girl. It's classic Hollywood stuff. But God's love is holy. He loves what is good and right and pure and healthy. And his holiness is loving. God's holiness is not a cold light, but a warm light. A fire that both purifies and welcomes us in. The light not only of the operating theatre, but of the family hearth. So as the people of God, we're called to be godly, to be like God, as creatures to share something of his holiness and love, to be children of our loving, holy, heavenly Father, to bear the family likeness of God who says, "Be holy as I am holy." As he also says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Holiness is at the heart of the Old Testament law. But that holiness of the law is truly summarized in those two commandments to love God and to love our neighbor. Jesus asks the repentant Peter three times, "Do you love me?" That's the great question. Love is the greatest virtue, the bond of all the virtues, the more excellent way. There could be no true holiness without love. No true love which is not holy. Holiness, it seems, is not only separate from evil. It also reaches out to the world in love. And the two or three historical Valentines, indeed all the martyrs, give us a picture of holy love. They have a love that is stronger than death. They love something even more than they love their own lives. Theirs is a holy love which warns against contamination and compromise and is willing, if necessary, to pay the ultimate price. They tell us that love and holiness are worth living for and dying for. That there is a sense in which we cannot both love the world and love God. We must choose. There is a holy war for our love. And if we want to know what holiness and love look like, we should, of course, look at the Lord Jesus. His love and holiness were often maligned and misunderstood. He ate with sinners in a way that scandalized the holiness police. He didn't keep the Sabbath rules in the way that the church wanted. It's an interesting question, isn't it? What would Jesus have made of Lent if they'd invented it in his day? Would he have kept the Lent rules? But Jesus wasn't just into love and neglectful of holiness. He said that his followers would need a righteousness even greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. A holiness not only of appearances, but of the heart. Jesus would have us tithe our herbs, but also attend to justice and mercy and faith. We need not only to whitewash the outside, but to let the light into the murky depths of our souls. Jesus calls us to a real and deep repentance, to turn from sin back to love. Jesus shows us what true love and true holiness mean and look like. This is love, not flowers and chocolates and bad verse, but that Jesus loved us and gave his life for us, an unholy people, to make us holy. Greater love has no man than this, than that he lays down his life for his friends. Indeed, Jesus goes further. He dies for his enemies, for the unlovely, to make them lovely. Love doesn't simply overlook sin. It's too holy for that. Love requires atonement. At one moment, sin estranges us and harms our love and holiness. It pollutes. We need to be reconciled to God and God to us. God the Son was the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. God himself absorbed and spent his holy anger, his wrath, which is itself an aspect of his love, that we might enjoy his holy love. May God grant us then a loving holiness and a holy love. Let's pray that this Lent we would have a more perfect love which drives out fear, that we might love God and love our neighbour, which with a love that comes from God, who is love. And so to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be all honour and power and glory, now and forever. Amen.